Well, today we are excited to have some of our missionaries returning home today. Several years ago, Jason, we went on the first mission trip to Manaus. Was it 7 years ago? Somewhere around seven? Wow. 7 years has been a long time. Man, you're getting old, Jason. I'll tell you what. Around 7 years ago, Jason went along with me with several other people in the church. We went down on a mission trip down the Amazon River there in Manaus. We met with our home missionaries there, Hillary and Aldai, and we took a group down the Amazon River. And God began to speak to him after that trip. And he began to prepare his family and didn't just jump out, come back and say, all right, in 30 days, I got to be gone. But he spent years praying and seeking God's direction and timing for this and began to liquidate their assets, began to prepare themselves to make that kind of move. They've sold all their things here in the U.S. and packed it up or living in a trailer waiting for the visas to come through. And they sacrificed so much and stepped out in faith and moved down there to Manaus. And they've had a great past year down there. God's been doing some great testimonies. He's going to come this morning and share some of those testimonies and challenges us. But I want you to put your hands together and welcome home our home people. This is our home people, his family, the Betts family, Jason, Amanda. You guys come this morning. It's good to have you returning home today. We love you.
Wow, thank you so much. Good morning, Destiny. Oh my gosh, the first service did way better. So, good morning, Destiny. Amen. Amen. Man, let me just tell you, I am super excited to be here. I'm like a little kid in a candy store right now. I just want to jump around. I want to dance like TJ right now. I just want to get up on my toes and, you know, start dancing up here. But we're packing to come back. I'm so excited. And I've got to put stuff in my luggage. And I'm holding it up saying, honey, can I wear this? Yeah, yeah. Can I wear this? Yeah. Can I wear this? Yeah. Can I wear this? Would you stop asking me if you can wear things? Sure, sure, sure. I said, but one more thing, can I wear this? She says, definitely not. I said, okay. So I threw it off to the side. And so I left my Tarzan loincloth there. Couldn't bring it out of the jungle back with me. Thank goodness it's really cold this morning. So I didn't bring that with me. So, as Pastor said, we are in Manaus, Brazil. Does anybody know where that's at? All right. A few more than first service. Amen to that. We are in South America, is where Brazil is. Manaus is situated in northern Brazil, and we are dead center in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. The only way that you can get to us is by airplane or by boat. There's one road leading out of Manaus, and that goes north to Venezuela. And if you've kept up with politics and what's going on in Venezuela, you don't want to go there right now, okay? So we're kind of stuck in the jungle, and we're making the best of it. I myself am a paramedic and a registered nurse. I've been doing that now for 17 years. My lovely wife, Amanda, is with us. Can you stand up for me? My wife is a teacher. My oldest daughter, I don't know where she snuck off to. There she is. She's here. She's 18 years old with us. My youngest daughter, Elise, is 11 years old that's with us. And I always like to save the best for last. I'm going to try to keep it together because this was a special surprise for us. Our son is here. He's 21 years old. He is proudly serving us. Yes. He's proudly serving all of us in the U.S. Navy right now. So proud of this young man, and I'm proud of the whole family. And if you get anything out of this, is that we are a missionary family. Okay, we are a family of missionaries. This is not the Jason Betts show, this is not the Amanda Betts show, and it's definitely not Elise's and Kenneth's. Okay, we are a family on the missions field and the way we work. So, I've got a little video. Do you guys like videos? All right, it's 2 hours long. Actually, it was, but we had to shorten it down. Pastor said, you know what, Jason, I can't give you that much time, but we're going to stretch it out to 4 minutes here and give you a little idea. We're going to lead in the vision of what we're doing down in Brazil and kind of set the foreground, okay? Go ahead. We are alive and we're able. We come alive. Amen, amen. Thank you. So that gives you a quick glimpse of what's going on for us. I want to share with you, you know, I thought, what are we going to do when we come and when we speak? And I'm just so excited. I mean, this is my home church, and just afford the opportunity. And your great pastors are so gracious. And I just want to give you a hand clap to them right now, that they're just awesome people leading this congregation that have led me to where we are now. So what I thought was, I didn't want to come and preach to you. I don't want to teach. Well, actually, yeah, we're going to teach a little bit. But, you know, my main focus is I want you to understand that what we're doing and what our vision is. Our vision is to generate thriving communities and produce a healthy kingdom. It's that simple. And how are we going to do that? We're going to go and we're going to restore hope to individuals' lives. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit work within us and work within them to restore hope. So what is hope? Webster's Dictionary says it best. It says, hope is the feeling of wanting something to happen and thinking it could happen. It's a feeling that something good will happen or be true. Romans 5, verse 5 in the New King James Version says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. What Paul is saying here is hope. It's a confidence that only God can give. God wants us to have confident expectations of goodness. He desires that. If you think that he's biased towards you in your life, you're exactly right. He loves you. He loves everything about you. So we go down the river, the Amazon River. You may have heard of it. The second largest river in the world. It's humongous. We travel down the Amazon River and its tributaries, and we are accepted into a village called Chimbo. Chimbo is a village of 225 people. These people are, if you will, direct descendants of the indigenous tribes within the village. These are people that may have been kicked out of a tribe, or people that, you know, wanted to get out of the tribal life and experience life in another way, but not come to Manaus, Brazil. Manaus is a city of 2.5 million people. It's like living in 1950s America with 2016 technology at your fingertips. You can imagine when we go into the jungle how much time comes off of that and how farther backwards we go. These individuals are people that need love. We're in the village one day, and I'm walking through, and this young man comes, and they can't say my name, Jason. That's pretty simple, right? So what they say instead is Jay-Z. So his little boy comes running through the village, and he sees me, and he's like, Jay-Z, Jay-Z, Jay-Z. And I'm like, yes. He said, come, I need you to come with me and to come quickly. Now, mind you, he's not speaking in English. He's speaking in Portuguese to me. And I said, okay, where are we going? What's going on? He said, I need you to come to my house with me. My brother is very sick. I said, well, let me grab my medical kit and let's go and see him. I grabbed it right quick and we took off walking to his house. We got to the house and I walked in. And I see this 11-year-old boy that's about as big around as my pinky laying on this bed. It's obvious that he's in distress. He's very sick. We talk about here in the United States how we have beads of sweat. This boy had balls of sweat. If I didn't tell you, the jungle is very hot. And in fact, it's hot, 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 hot. I looked at him. I said, what's going on, buddy? What's wrong? And he said, I have a lot of pain. And I said, where's your pain at? And he said, it's right here. I said, okay. I knew exactly what was going on. I asked the mother, I said, so when's the last time that he ate? Oh, it's been 7 days. How long has he had the pain? It's been for a week, 7 days. When's the last time that he really could keep down water without throwing up? It's been about 7 days. I said, okay, I assessed him, and after my assessment, I felt really confident that we were looking at this boy had appendicitis. At that point in time, I knew that we no longer had 7 more days. We didn't have 7 hours. We may only have 7 minutes. Let me jump backwards. When I got into the village at noon that day, that was the last boat out of the village. See, the next boat didn't come until 4 o'clock the next morning. And the nearest medical facility is 4 hours away by slow boat to China. So here I am. We set up an IV, started giving him fluids, started giving him pain medicine for pain management. And most importantly, we started laying hands and started praying over him. We were praying for health. We were praying for restoration. We were praying with all of our hearts that the circumstances were going to be changed in Jesus' name. I told the family, I said, I will be here every hour to check on him. So every hour for the next 12 to 14 hours, I spent with this child praying for him and praying and praying. The rest of the story I'm about to tell you, though, comes from the mouth of the father of this child. See, we got him onto the boat at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we got him to Manikaparu, which is 4 hours away. We got him into the hospital, and the doctor assessed him just like this man did over here, just like Jason did. And sure enough, the doctor said he has appendicitis. He needs to go to surgery. He said they whipped him up and brought him in for surgery, cut him open, and when they did, his appendix burst. Now, he's telling the story in front of the entire village, all 225 people in this village. Like I said, this is October of last year. We'd already been there for 10 months, roughly, well, actually about 5 months. And he looked at everybody in the village and he said, it is now, at this point in time, that we need to quit putting our noses up. We need to start listening to these people because God brought them here for a purpose. He brought them here to do something within our lives. Without Jason being here, my child would not have lived, and that's not from my words, it's from the doctor himself. At that point in time, I knew that hope had been restored in that father's life. And through his testimony with these villagers, I could look around and see that hope was starting to be restored in their lives. See, the way that we look at it, it's all part of the condition of our heart. It's all a heart thing. In fact, does anyone deserve the goodness and favor of the Father? I mean, honestly, I mean, do we really deserve that? He says we do. Whosoever will accept his son Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life most definitely does. You don't have to do anything to deserve God's favor, and that's one of the hardest things to accept, and especially for these people. You don't have to do anything. So within the village, we started noticing that the women, man, they are fabulous cooks. Any women in here like to cook? Nobody? Okay. All right, so, man, I'm sorry for that. Husbands, I pray. They love to cook, but they spend a lot of time in their homes. And I'm like, well, how are they generating income? How are they buying the things that they have? I mean, I know it's just not given to them. How are they doing this? And started looking into what's going on, and a true realization started to occur. We found that the women are selling themselves. In fact, they took it a next step forward, and they were selling their 12, 13-year-old daughters. They were prostituting them out just within the village. In years past, they were even selling them to people that would come down the river, and they would take these girls down the river and never to be seen again. I can tell you the last year and a half that we've been there, no women have been sold into sex trade, into sex trafficking. Amen. So we decided, we got to do something. This has got to stop. I mean, we got to end this. These people need to understand their true identity. They need to have more respect for themselves. And how are we going to show that? How are we going to do that? And when we go down the river, we travel with other Brazilians. And there's usually about a team of 8 that's with us. And one of the girls raised her hand that's in the team and said, I know how we can do it. And I said, well, how's that? And she said, we're going to start teaching them how to do a craft. And we're going to teach them how to make bracelets, necklaces, and earrings. And I was a little skeptic. I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, I guess, I mean, we'll see what how that happens, you know, how that works. And so she started teaching them. 2 months later, we had some individuals on a missions team come down, and I was speaking to them, and they were just really amazed at what was going on with these women and what they were doing and what was happening. And he said, I'm going to buy all these bracelets. I said, what? He said, yeah, I'm going to buy all these bracelets. He said, I'm going to take them, I'm going to go back, I'm going to start selling them, and we're going to generate an economy for these women. And that's exactly what's happened. For the last year and a half, he's been buying all these bracelets and selling them and investing back into these women to where they're not having to prostitute themselves out and prostitute their daughters. In fact, the first time that we invested back in the women, we're able to give them money. I was walking through the village and I see this young lady carrying a big old thing of propane over her shoulder, trying to bring it back to her house. I quickly ran over and I grabbed the propane and said, let me take that for you. She had a big old smile on my face and I said, it feels good, doesn't it? And she said, no, you have no idea how good it feels. I said, well, tell me about it. She said, this is the first time that I will have been able to cook on my stove in the last 8 months because I had no money to be able to buy gas. It was at that point in time that I could see things start to change in her life, that hope was starting to be restored, and she was starting to walk out in faith. In fact, in Colossians 1, verse 26 through 29, this is in the Message version of the Bible, it says, this mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. So we try to make sharing the gospel complicated. But right there in the Bible it says, to be mature is to be basic. So we've got a lot of great social projects that we're starting in the village and helping with these people. So now we've really got to look at, how are we going to share the gospel? How are we going to do this? And I started really thinking, I was like, man, we got to come up with some different ideas. And so as a nurse, it kicked in. We've got to go through and assess this village and assess the situation. So we went to every house and knocked on the door. And I asked one simple question. Can you read? 85% of the people in the village said, no, I can't read. And I said, wow, we've got a bigger problem than what I thought. Because see, there's two churches in the village. Now we are preaching a dangerous gospel. These people are going off of what you say, and what I say, but they are not able to have a true understanding for themselves by opening up the gospel and let that just soak into their being. So what are we going to do? If any of you know me, you know that before I get started on anything, I just research it to death. So I went back and started doing some research. And it said, villages in Africa, India, and the Amazon are known to have cell phones on every person. I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way. So what did I do? Went back to Chimbo, went door to door, and I said, do you have a cell phone? And they said, well, yeah, I sure do. It's right here. Mind you, there's no cell phone service, but they've got a cell phone. And I was like, yes, they have a cell phone. Now, what am I going to do about it? So I did some more research, started looking into this, and we found it. We are now putting the audio Bible on SD cards, micro SD cards. We put the Book of John, we put the Jesus film, and we have 30 worship songs in Portuguese that we are sharing on SD cards, and then we're plugging them into people's phones. But that wasn't good enough for me. I had a vision of being on a boat. I've been wanting a boat the whole entire time. To be able to reach these people, we need a boat. We've got to be able to go up and down the river and its tributaries. So I had a vision that we are going to be the Wi-Fi blasting the gospel on the boat. We're going to have Wi-Fi on there. We're going to just spread the gospel as we go down the river on this boat. People looked at me like you are right now and said, "You're crazy." Well, let me tell you what, it's a reality. We've been blessed with a Wi-Fi gospel media center. And we have it back here on this back table over here. Yeah, amen, amen. We have the Bible, audio Bible downloaded in English, Spanish, Portuguese. We're able to put worship music on there. We're able to put kids programs on there. We have, you name it, we can put it on there, turn it on, and now we're blasting the gospel through Wi-Fi. We're bringing 2016 technology to a 1950s setting. And we're excited about it. Excited about what God's going to do as we continue going down the river to village after village. Romans 1, verse 16 through 17 says, "It's news I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts Him, starting with the Jews and then right to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. See, because Christ is in you, you have that hope of glory. You can expect the glory of God to shine out in just about every area of your life. And that's what we need to show these people. We need to step right next to them and form a relationship with them. We need to pour love into their lives, because that's what we're called to do. It's not the easiest thing to be able to do. We may not understand the significance of what's going on in their life, but we're just called to sit there, be with them, and just love on them. It's hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is always going to be with you. In fact, it's so much that a young 18-year-old girl came up to me one day, and some of you older generation will get this. Her name is Hooch. It's Hooch. I was like, well, that's interesting. In English, her name is Ruth. It's spelled with a R-U-T-H. But in Portuguese, the R makes an H sound. And old Hooch came up to me and didn't even know her. Had no idea, had never seen her before. She came up, and I looked at her, and it was obvious that she was 9 months pregnant. Not 9 months, but I knew that she was pregnant. And she said, Jason, I need to speak with you. And I said, okay, what's going on? And she said, well, I'm pregnant. I was like, I can see that. And she said, well, I'm starting to leak fluid. And I'm like, all right, I can take care of this. This is going to be good. And she said, no, that's not what I really need to talk to you about. What I need to talk to you about is that I had a dream. I said, okay, all right. Started to get a little uncomfortable. What in the world am I going to do here? She said, I had a dream, and it was Satan that came into this dream. And he looked at me square in the eyes in this dream and said, your baby is dead. Your baby is mine. I have taken your child. In fact, when you give birth to this child, it's already mine. And I looked at her, and I just wanted to turn around and walk away. I was scared. I was not scared of what had been said. I was scared for her because I was like, man, Lord, what am I going to do here? And then it kicked in. We need to pray. Laid hands on her belly and started to pray over that child. Started to lay hands on her and started to pray over her life. Prayed that life would be instilled back into her, be instilled in this child, declaring that this child is a child of God. This child is going to be born healthy, that it's going to grow up, it's going to be prosperous, it's going to walk upright and with authority through this village, and it's going to proclaim Jesus' name. And we cried and we prayed. 2 weeks later, I come back to the village and there's no Hooch. Hooch is not in the village, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm a wreck at this point. I come back home, and I'm telling my wife, I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what happened. Lord, did you take her at such a young age? What has happened? What happened to the baby? I continue to pray. 2 weeks later, I go back to the village, walking through the village, and I hear, Jay-Z! I turn around, and it's Hooch, with a beautiful young baby that she's holding in her hands. And she said, Jason, I just want to thank you, because it was through you that this baby is here alive this morning. I said, no. I would love to take the glory on this, but it was through Jesus Christ and through you and through hope within your life and your faith and you conquering what Satan had said in your life that this baby is with you today. The first thing that the Holy Spirit lets us know is that there's love, that there's power in love. It doesn't say that love is power. I'm sorry. The reveal the love for power, but the power of love. We try to let God saturate all their circumstances and meet their needs and try to let them understand that they are more and worth more than what they think. I was talking about that we have a vision of providing a medical boat on the Amazon River. I said, there's no way. We are never going to get this boat. My wife was like, okay, just calm down. I said, no, it's never going to happen. We need to pack our stuff up and we need to go home. Our vision that God said, I'm having a hard time believing this. 24 hours later, I got an email from an individual and he said, hey, guess what? He said, you know, we're coming down in 2 weeks, right? And I was like, okay, reading on and blah, blah, blah. He said, we really believed in your vision and what's going on down there. And we have money to come down, and we're going to buy a boat. And you're going to use it to do medical missions. I was blown away because at that instance, my hope was rebuilt. My faith was regenerated. We're still needing to stock the boat. We're still needing to put medical supplies on it. We're looking at $15,000 to be able to do that. We have our needs met so far to where we just need $13,000 more to be able to do that. We're needing to generate monthly support to be able to keep up the upkeep of the boat and to be able to put gas on the boat to be able to continue what I'm talking to you about right now. I also said that our whole family is a family of missionaries. So I want to bring them up here right quick, and I want you to hear some things that really lay on their heart. So Kenna, Elise, and my wife, if you could come up here right quick, I'd appreciate it. So I just want you to share right quick something, you know, that's really impacted your life being in Brazil.
Okay. I could stand here and talk all day, but I won't. The biggest thing that I'd like to share is just the fact that we're there can be very difficult sometimes. It's hot and it stinks and it's hot and it really stinks. So, you know, God puts those moments in you that just keep you going. It doesn't matter if it's hot and it stinks. You come across that moment and it makes it all worth it. You know, it's kind of like when you see your baby take their first steps or whatever. It just makes it worth it. And my moment was we were in the village doing a prayer tunnel. I don't know if you've ever done a prayer tunnel, but you stand on each side, people go through, and you pray for them. And God said, Amanda, these people need to pray for each other. And I said, okay. So they went through the prayer tunnel, and I, in my limited broken Portuguese, I instructed them to continue on in the prayer tunnel. And they were like, what? I can pray too? I get to do this? And I was like, yes. And they prayed for each other, and it just touched me that, man, we are really, I mean, these little things that it seems like we're doing is really making something. We're building a puzzle here, and they're learning to pray for each other, and that was one of the biggest moments. And I can just always look back to it and just get that relief, you know, that extra energy to keep going forward. So,
wow, thank you. Thank you. Kenna, you want to share a little something with them about what are you doing in the village of Chimbo? Let me just tell you that every time that I go, I take one daughter with me. The next time I go, I take another daughter, and we kind of go back and forth. We don't want them, you know, fighting and getting on each other's nerves, so we kind of separate them a little bit. So can you share what you're doing in Chimbo?
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. I started translating probably in like my first month in Brazil. So God really blessed me with the language. So whenever we have missions teams, I'm going to be a translator. So you should come visit us. And also, like in Chimbo, the kids ages about 9 to 13, I believe, I have started a discipleship group because of all their problems going on in their households. Like Dad said, them selling themselves and stuff like that. And so I just have a time with all the girls where all the girls get together and I let them open up and talk to each other. They open up and talk to me about things that they can't talk to their parents about, such as rape, molestation, different things like that. And like, they want to share it, you know, but you can't talk to your parents about that because if they told you, you know, they told their moms, their uncles molesting them, then they're going to get beat and stuff like that. And so it's nice to have a safe place to come and talk to someone. So that is my job. So if you guys could keep praying for me, because that is very difficult to hear. It's very sad whenever you hear an 8-year-old cry to you that their uncle is touching them inappropriately. My discipleship group, I also, what we like to do is I like to create like contact, because they're not really friends in the village. You would think that they would be best friends, but they're not. And so I think it's very important to start at a young age to get them to talk to each other about what's going on in their households and continue to grow up as friends in Christ.
All right, thank you. Are you ready for this, little sis? All right, what'd you share with them here?
Eu estou muito feliz para ser aqui hoje de manhã. E eu quero agradecer os pastores para deixando a gente falar aqui. E é muito especial para ser em casa de novo.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're in the United States now. Okay, we can't be speaking that way. We need to speak it in English. Okay? All right, go ahead. Try it again.
So I'm very excited to be here this morning, and I want to thank our pastors for letting us speak here today, and it's very exciting to be back home.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys, thank you so much. So I want to tell you, I've got this gal in the village. Her name is Santana. She's the cutest little thing. She's about this tall. And every time I see her in the village, I just want to scream out, Santana! And I expect her to come out of the house with her guitar and just start, eh. It hasn't happened. I keep praying that it will. But we're in the village, and she says, Jason, I need you to come here. I need you to come with me. My husband is very sick in the house. I need you to help me. I said, okay. So I've got three other Brazilians that are with me. As I say, they're always coming with us. And we go to the house, and I said, so what's going on? What's going on, buddy? He said, you know what? I'm just really tired. He said, I have no energy. I've got a headache. I'm agitated. I'm just not happy. He's laying in his hammock, and I said, okay, so how long has this been going on for? He said, oh, for the past 3 days. Just really haven't had any energy to get up and do anything at all. I said, okay. I said, all right. I said, well, what's happened in your life? He said, well, I lost my job. And I'm in this new relationship, you know. I mean, it's not new, but it's, you know, these children of Santana's are not my children. And I said, okay. And the Brazilians that were behind me said, what are we going to do? What medicine are we going to give him? What are we going to do? They're all excited, you know. We're going to do some medical stuff. And I said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to give him the dose of the Holy Ghost. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, just hang out and watch a while and see what happens. I said, look, his problem is not a medical problem. This is a problem that we all face. This is called life. He's going through life right now. And what he needs is for us to step up and be by his side. He needs us to be next to him right here. Climb in that hammock with him and tell him that he's loved. Show him the love of the Father. Don't just sit there and talk about it. Get out of your comfort zone and hug him and be with him. We started to pray over his life, talked about how his life was going to be restored, that a job was going to come to him, and it's going to be more fruitful than the last job that he had. He received that. We went on. 2 weeks later, I'm back in the village again, and I hear out of nowhere, Jay-Z. I turned around, and it was this young man with a big old smile on his face. And he gave me a big hug. And if you know Brazilian men, they're very stoic, to the point that I ask them to smile when they take a picture, and they just do this. So for him to give me a hug was a big deal. And he said, "You know what, Jason?" He said, "I need to thank you." I said, "For what?" And he said, "Thank you for being who you are and spending that time praying. And I need to let you know that I have a new job. I'm now working on the orange plantation out in the jungle. And I just have this feeling of happiness about my life. And I feel like things are starting to turn around." It was at that point in time that I led him to salvation, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He is now one of our biggest disciples within the community and walks with us side by side. And we are able to show him, and he's able to show others how to love. Some of you today may have heard some of these stories, and the Holy Spirit may have touched you. I ask you to jump in the hammock with us. Get in to the situations that we're in with us. Love on one another. Invest in each other. Do what you are called to do. I thank you guys. I love you guys. We'd love to give you a big hug, squeeze on you, talk with you, share more. Like I said, we've got a table over here. Come see us afterwards, and we'd love to share more stories with you. Thank you.
Our ushers are going to prepare now. We're going to take up a special love offering for Jason, Amanda, your family, to use personally for support. However you need to use this offering, we wanted to say we empower you to use this for your family and for your ministry. Now, you're not able to have a work visa because it's very difficult as a U.S. citizen to go to Brazil and to live there and get a work permit because they get to disclose that what you're trying to do with the ministry and things. And so his only support is coming from here in the States. Is we have people who are supporting them, and some do it monthly, some give a one-time gift. But however you would like to do that, if you want to support them monthly, you can write under missions or under other on your envelope. You can put bets monthly, and we'll make sure that money gets right to them. And we want to bless them. But tonight, today, right now, we're going to bless them with a one-time offering. And I want you just to bow your heads. Let's pray. Ask the Holy Spirit how we can bless them today. We want to bless them. This is our family. They were sitting where you were. They've taken mission trips like many of you have. And God is using them as they step down in faith. And we want to bless them today. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. What would you like for us to do personally? And as he speaks to you today, I want you now just to be quick to obey that. That's just going to pass the bucket today. 100% what you give is going to go right back into their family, to the ministry today. We're going to close with this course, and then we're going to bring your family back up here and pray for you before we leave today. Can we do that? All right. So, Pastor TJ, come this morning.
I want to give you my first. I want to give you my best. I want to live my life as your instrument. Oh, I want to give you my first. I want to give you my best. I want to live my life for your benefit. 'Cause you deserve it all.
Come on, Jay-Z, Beyonce. I guess you three are Destiny's Child. Okay, let's go. Now, we are thrilled to have them today. We're going to pray over them today. So I want you to stretch your hands. You're leaving to go back to the Amazon on December the 6th. December 6th, coming up really fast. We want to pray God's protection over them. And just continue to, wherever you put your feet, we believe God's going to just open those doors. And we're going to speak favor over you. We're going to speak financial blessing over you. Workers, mission troops, boats, medical supplies, villages, workers, locals are going to open up to you in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this family who said yes to the call to go. They've forsaken their family here in the U.S. to go pursue your call over their life. Father, right now, we pray that you continue to give them favor. May you open doors that seem closed. Lord, may you send people with resources, both spiritually and financially, to open up more doors. Medical supplies opening up. Boats opening up. Father, Lord, businessmen in the region opening up. Father, to send the gospel, to fund the gospel, to spread medical help, to bring hope that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray you anoint their feet everywhere they go. May they take that ground for you. In Jesus' name, we pray over them. We say together, amen. Now, this is what I want to do before we leave today. Because these are ours, okay? We took up a love offering. Before you leave today, I want you to hear me. I want 10 people to bring these girls $20, okay? Because they need to go shopping before they go back to the U.S., all right? These girls, let me think these girls need to go shopping before they go back to the U.S. We want to bless these girls. I need 10 people. Here you go. There's one right here. I need 9 other people. Bring me up a $20 bill. I want you to give these. Fast, let's go. I need 9 other people. Bring me $20 bill to these girls. I want to send these girls to go shopping before they go back to Brazil. Have a little fun. And how many? Look at this. This boy left the boy. Look at him coming right here. Give it to him, guys. Give it to him. Bless him. Bless him. Yeah. Trevor, we're proud of you. You left the boy. He came back with a stash. And I just want you to know, in front of all these people, if you ever need a wingman, you call Maverick and I'll be there, baby. We appreciate you, man. Good to have you home. Come on, one more time. Give these guys a big, big hand clap. Just appreciate them. We love you guys very much. Stop by their table before they leave today. And God bless you. Have a great, great Thanksgiving with your family. Enjoy your time this holiday week. God bless you.